This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The impact of the WeWork debacle was evident in SoftBank's latest quarterly earnings, which were released on Wednesday. It recorded its first quarterly operating loss in 14 years of about $6.5 billion. Now, its signature Vision Fund, which is the world's single largest pool of startup investors, reported about $9 billion in losses in the quarter.
So the Vision Fund had been the driver of profit growth at SoftBank, contributing over $14 billion in mostly paper gains over the past 2 years. However, the shrinking valuation of Uber and WeWork, once SoftBank's brightest stars, raised the prospect of more write-downs and valuation reassessments of other growth companies in its portfolio, which include other names like Didi Jujing and Grab to hotel startups like Oyo Rooms and food delivery app DoorDash.
So for some analysis of SoftBank's latest earnings report, we speak to Daniel Baker, Director of Equity Research at Morningstar. Thank you for joining us, Daniel. Now, in your view, how bad are these results and what are your main takeaways from SoftBank's earnings report?
I'm not sure that they're bad and that the write-down was quite large, but everyone knew that was coming. So, you know, they wrote down WeWork by around $4.7 billion for SoftBank itself and another $3.5 billion for Vision Fund. But it was pretty much as expected. But there are also other write-downs made in over 20 of the other stocks in the Vision Fund, so there's a bit of a clean-up of valuations. I guess the other key points out of the result were SoftBank will sell or shut down non-core businesses of WeWork and stop new growth so the business can turn profitable. Arm's revenues continue to decline and it continues to post operating losses. That's sort of a trend that we've seen over the last probably year or so. One interesting thing to come out of that, I think, was that despite the Sprint T-Mobile merger receiving approval from the DOJ and the FCC, SoftBank has yet to declare it as highly probable from an accounting perspective. So they're still waiting for litigation and some approvals, other approvals to come through. So it doesn't seem like that deal is necessarily a done deal yet.
And of course, it's the WeWork investment that's been getting the most attention. And Miyoshi-san even admitted that he turned a blind eye to governance lapses at WeWork, but he still believes that it can turn a profit, as you mentioned. So do you share his optimism?
Well, I think his plan that he's laid out should be able to get it back to profitability. It just won't end up being as big a company as what it was looking like being if it continued on its previous growth path. So simply by shutting down the non-core businesses and then slowing the growth down so that they are dealing with more profitable buildings that have been around for longer, then I think that should be able to get it back to profit. It's just not going to be as big a business as it was before. But to be honest, it's going to be the business that most people compared it to when they were looking at valuing the business, which is something like an IWG, a sort of steadily growing company which is profitable. That's the aim for the business. I guess we'll wait and see how the clients take the sort of change in tact.
So following the WeWork debacle, SoftBank has said it will roll out new governance measures to avoid similar situations. Is this enough to stem worries over the investments in its portfolio?
If they're rolling out new governance measures, they didn't really outline them in any great detail in the results call. So I think there probably would still be some concern about governance issues in other companies in the portfolio, simply because this was one of their biggest investments, and we really only found out about the governance issues because they IPO'd and detailed them all in a prospectus. So I think there's probably still going to be some concerns about, you know, potential governance in some of the smaller companies, because there's over 80 companies in their portfolio and this was one of the biggest, so it should have been probably receiving the most attention.
So Daniel, what are you going to be looking out for moving forward on SoftBank? How will this affect Masayoshi-san's credibility as well as the prospects for his second Vision Fund?
I think it does impact the credibility of SoftBank as an investment company, which is what it is now. I guess there's a few issues here. Firstly, I think it was the valuation that they paid to invest in WeWork. But there were lots of articles written about WeWork valuation and comparing it to those companies like IWG that I mentioned that had valuations of about a tenth of what were those that were being paid for WeWork at the time. The LPs of the SoftBank Vision Fund also didn't want that SoftBank Vision Fund to invest any more in WeWork, and so SoftBank ended up investing in it on its own. So there were plenty of warning signs, but in the end the company had to take its conviction investments, and I guess this one just went wrong. But I think a little bit more concerning was that the categorisation of WeWork as a technology investment, I mean, this has been questioned all along by investors. You know, how is WeWork related to technology and artificial intelligence, which are the themes of the Vision Fund? And the answers to that question have always been pretty unconvincing. So, you know, it sounds like they were given some presentations by the WeWork CEO and they bought into those presentations pretty much hook, line and sinker and didn't really question them. And I think in many ways that's probably more damaging to the reputation than the other two issues in some way. So, and I think that probably will have a bit of an impact on them trying to raise fresh funds for Vision Fund 2.
Thank you very much, Daniel. And that was Daniel Baker, Director of Equity Research at Morningstar. And as he described, SoftBank has, up until this point, I think, seemed to take a fairly hands-off approach to a lot of their investments. So they are now saying that they will be imposing new standards to tighten governance on some of these companies that are backed by its Vision Fund. And for private companies, they've said that they'll look to have at least one board seat, require at least one independent director, as well as prohibit directors from owning super voting shares.
Which is what WeWork wanted, mm-hmm. right? The super duper voting shares. And they will also limit founders and managers to management to less than half of the board seats. SoftBank will also introduce guidelines on how much a founder or management stake can be sold at the time of an IPO or other forms of exit. And a chief executive succession plan also needs to be approved by a majority of the directors. Now, I'm just amazed by Maoyoshi Son's point of view, right? I mean, he admitted he turned a blind eye to everything. I mean, to at least what happened at WeWork. Now, when you're a $97 billion Vision Fund, I kind of know that you have a lot on your plate, but to turn a blind eye,
Yeah, so this was...
For one of your largest investments on top of it?
Yes, and he did say that this was basically a lapse in judgment on his part, right? Which was a little bit of something to be concerned about.
And this is a big lapse in judgment because I think the Vision Fund has a clause where if an investment is above $3 billion, you've got to get the approval from the other biggest shareholders or they have veto rights. Mm-hmm. And he had structured this deal so that it would just be under that. It was just under $3 billion. I don't know what Adam Newman did here to really enchant Maoyoshi-san like this.
But so the interesting thing for me looking at some of the guidelines that SoftBank is reintroducing is that it really seems like it's taking steps to mitigate the cult of the CEO that we see in a lot of these private companies, these massive unicorns and decacorns, right? So Adam Newman is an example. To a certain extent, Apple and Steve Jobs was an example as well, because so much of the company's future was tied up in Steve Jobs that when he died, and initially it was like a huge
vacuum,
question mark and
yeah.
a vacuum.
But the thing is, Jobs always had adults in the room, right? Mm-hmm. He had Tim Cook, and for Tim Cook was probably Apple's biggest asset for years upon years, doing all the work behind the scenes to build 200 million phones. You need to get the supply chain for 200 million phones. And that you always need that, right? You always need an adult in the room. And vision is not enough to build a trillion-dollar company.
Yeah, but what worries me a little bit, if you look at the SoftBank, I mean, the comments that Mr. Son said at the press conference, and this is like a two-hour presentation, he kept on insisting that the WeWork deal was not a bailout, that the $97 billion Vision Fund was still doing better. He admitted it was a bad decision, and he was deeply remorseful, I quote. But he also says there is no change to my strategy or vision and that he hopes that he'll get a return on the WeWork investment in 4 to 5 years.
So the other notable investment from SoftBank has also been Uber. And Uber has also been another blot on Masayoshi-san's reputation recently because of its shrinking valuations. Now, former Uber CEO Travis Kalanick has since gone on to start another company, Cloud Kitchen, which has secured about $400 million from Saudi Arabia's Sovereign Wealth Fund in one of the largest Series A investments in a startup by an institution.
So what is a cloud kitchen?
I think that's the biggest question, right? It's it's an interesting name.
Well, it apparently buys cheap or rundown real estate near city centers, builds kitchens or ghost kitchens. So you have this professional kitchen set up for the preparation of delivery-only meals. It's basically if a restaurant wants to expand its capacity for facility and to prepare food exclusively for delivery services like Grab, Hub, or even Uber Eats. It's a bit like what? Like Dal Makan, these guys?
No, I think they're more just ghost kitchens, right? So as restaurants want to cater to this increased demand on their own kitchens from Grab Food, or Uber Eats. You can hire, I guess, these guys to help you make more food. But I don't know how this actually works out.
Another disruptor we have to figure out.
It'll be interesting to see how Kalanick takes this forward. But right now we're heading into a few messages, and then after that we'll be back to take a look at the shadow economy in our local news segment. So be sure to stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.